Hello and welcome to the Friday, March 11th, 2016 edition of the Sands and the Snobs and Us Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We got two interesting malware-related diaries to start out with. First one by Mark about some malware that entirely lives within the registry. We have talked about this malware before. There's a real nice sort of example how to reverse this kind of malware. Really difficult still for some anti-malware products to actually catch on to this because it's never really sort of written to a file to disk, only as part of the registry, and then the executables are loaded directly into memory. So if you run into malware like this, Mark's diary gives you a nice blueprint how to analyze this type of malware and how it works. Now, and how would malware like this end up on your system? Of course, exploit kits are often to blame, and that's where the second diary comes in. Pratt is talking about the Caixin exploit kit, which, according to him, he often finds on Korean websites. This exploit kit that he analyzes does use a couple of older Flash exploits in order to then download additional malware. And last Tuesday, on Patch Tuesday, Adobe only released a patch for Acrobat and Acrobat Reader. Well, today on Thursday, Adobe released a second bulletin affecting Flash. So I'm not sure if that was just delayed by a couple days or if this was actually released early, because it does fix one vulnerability that, according to Adobe, has already been used in limited targeted attacks. Now, Microsoft did release a corresponding bulletin MS1636 for the Flash component in Windows 8.1 and later. Now, if you're relying on OTR, short for off the record, to encrypt your instant messaging communication, in particular with the open source instant messenger Idiom, then you probably need to patch your OTR library. There is a vulnerability that can be used to exploit OTR for arbitrary code execution. Now, not 100% sure how likely exploitation is. It does require that the victim receives a 5.5 gigabyte message from the attacker, but that message can be broken up into smaller 20 megabyte chunks. So would probably be noticeable if you get that much of data, but still update it in particular on your Linux systems. That should be relatively straightforward. Don't forget to restart Idiom after updating. And Bitdefender took a closer look at the KE Ranger crypto ransomware that was found on Macs that downloaded a compromised version of BitTorrent client transmission. Well, it turns out that this particular cryptoware is derived from Linux cryptoware. Not a huge surprise here, given the similar architecture of the two systems. It's probably relatively straightforward to port any kind of Linux malware to OS X. Now, all you have to do is you have to sign it with a valid certificate, which they did in this case in order to bypass the gatekeeper function in OS X. Of course, if you limit gatekeeper to applications being downloaded from the App Store, then you don't have to worry, but then you can't install software like Transmission in the first place because, well, it's not available inside Apple's App Store. And OpenSSH released an update fixing a vulnerability in X11 forwarding. Now, X11 forwarding is usually used to forward X11 window applications to the remote console. In this case, the attacker could execute commands via XAuth. Now, in order to do so, the attacker has to be authenticated, has to be able to log into the remote system, and has to be able to initiate X11 forwarding. X11 forwarding is often enabled by default in SSH. It's hardly ever used, so it's probably something you should just turn off if you don't need it. And then, of course, update your SSH servers. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening. And don't forget, daylight savings time starts in the US this weekend. Also, Monday we'll start with our big conference in Orlando. Hope to see some of you there. Thanks for listening and talk to you again on Monday.